for the message on today, he was telling me something different. He was telling me something spiritual. And I know you might even have heard that phrase, what on earth? Because of the Earth Day. What on earth are you doing? Are you picking up recycling? Are you going to get recycling? Are you putting on a green shirt? Are you wearing green? It's all about green. It's all about saving the earth. They have made that phrase Earth Day, all about Earth Day. But today I want to talk about what on earth are you doing in a spiritual format. Hallelujah. I don't know today if you're so caught up with that phrase in the natural and don't realize that God is expecting us to do something different than what we have been doing. And so God is in heaven and he's thinking the same phrase we have been thinking. Every day when something happens, crazy, we're what in the world? Where every day when something happens that you're not doing what you need to do according to the Lord is saying, well, what on earth are you doing? What are you doing about it? What are you doing about what God has asked you to do? So when I thought about that, I was meditating on the sermon for today. I realized that this time that phrase didn't come from my mother. That phrase didn't come from hearing it from an adult. It didn't come from hearing it from elders. But it came from hearing the Lord and that the Lord had a divine purpose. And now we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing about it? If you've not asked yourself, what on this earth are you doing? You have to realize that God has a divine purpose for you. And you need to ask yourself, well, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? So I was reading the scriptures in Matthew, the 17th chapter, and the 14th and the 20th verse, and I didn't put that on the board for you. I want you to go back and read this story, but I'm going to summarize the story for you. It's a powerful story that Matthew tells in the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, the 14th and the 20th verse, whereas Jesus is returning from the high mountains, and he comes to a multitude of people, and a certain man kneels down before Jesus, and he asks him, he says, show mercy on my lunatic son. Now, his lunatic son was very ill. He was often throwing himself in the fire, throwing himself in the water, and this man was concerned about his son. And he told Jesus, now Jesus had been on the Mount of Transfiguration, had come down, and he had come down. He had been up there with a few of his disciples. He had come down to his other disciples, and this man was expecting something to happen. How many times you go before the church, and you're in burden, or you're in need, and you want prayer, you are expecting what? Something, come on somebody, something to happen. And you don't really at that moment care if you run into the deacon, you don't care if you run into the mother, you don't care if you run into the missionary, you don't care if you run to the praise team. If you are in need, you are expecting, come on somebody, something to happen. So this man brought his lunatic son, this crazy son, and he was expecting when he took him to the disciples because Jesus was on the mount. So he was expecting if these men had been walking with Jesus, if you are a deacon on the deacon board, if you are a member on the praise team, if you are an usher in the back, if you are a member in on the pew, when somebody comes with a need, they are expecting something to happen. You ought to have enough power in you to make a change. So when this man came before the disciples and brought his lunatic son, they were looking for the disciples to heal him. And it didn't happen. Now, the disciples had been walking with Jesus all this time. And in fact, in the 10th chapter, and we're talking now about the 17th chapter, way down the line, in the 10th chapter, Jesus gave them the authority to cast out demons. He gave them the authority to heal the sick. And so when they come up, this man come up with this child, you would expect them, if they already had been given the power, you would expect them to be able to what? Use the power. If you got the knowledge, you ought to be able to use the knowledge. If you have the skill, you ought to be able to apply the skill. So the fact that he came to the disciples and they were not able, that just blew Jesus' mind. When he came down off that Transfiguration Mountain and the man said to him, I brought my child to them, and they didn't heal him. The Bible says that Jesus was upset about this. So Jesus did something great in this passage of story. And I want you to see that there's something greater. I want you to see that there's something greater in you. I want something great to happen through me. I want something great to happen through you. And I want something great to happen through our church. This is why this message has come forth today. Because that's greater. Come on, somebody say, there's greater in me. So Jesus challenges the disciples and us today by comparing their faith to the mustard seed. Now, many a times when we read this scripture, we kind of misinterpret it. We get it confused. We say that we only have to have the faith the size. We only have to have the faith the size. That's what we say. That's not what the word say. The word don't say have faith the size. The size of a multitude. So Jesus is comparing their faith to a mustard seed faith. Jesus was not promoting their small faith. The fact that they couldn't heal that boy was the fact that they were faithless. And Jesus talks about that. So they didn't have any faith. Not enough faith to perform at all what they were doing. And so the word of God says that you have to have faith as a mustard seed, as a grain, as. The word as means like. As means just like it. Not. So the mustard seed has faith enough that it will cause up a tree or a plant to grow, to bring forth, to produce. That's what a mustard seed does. And a mustard seed will do it and try to make it grow or die trying. Come on, somebody, say die trying. Now, the disciples didn't die trying to heal them. They just didn't heal them. They were just faithless. So if we got mustard seed faith as mustard seed faith, that means that whatever we go up against, whatever mountain that comes our way, we're going to die. Come on, somebody, say die trying to move that mountain. But what we do, we give up like the disciples. And we have no faith at all, which means we don't even speak what? We don't even speak to the mountain. And that's what I want you to see today. It ain't about that little faith. It ain't about that small faith. It's the fact that you don't have faith enough to even speak. You don't have faith enough to use that he already gave you power to do. The mustard seed has power to produce a plant, even to produce a tree that will bring forth more mustard seed. God has already given that in that little seed that power. Now, what are you doing on earth? What on earth are you doing? What if you have faith as that mustard seed that will die trying to produce it? Will you die trying to get your business off the ground? Will you die trying to perfect your music ministry? Will you die trying to fill up the bus? Will you die trying to fill up the seats in God's house? Will you die trying to let the world know that the lost can be saved? Will you die trying? So Jesus was really upset, and he said to the man when he said, I brought my child to you, and they weren't able to heal him. Jesus answered and said this to the disciples, said the disciples were faithless and perverse. And do you know what the word perverse means? It means a generation that turns away from. So You don't go to what you know. You go back from what you know. It's like reverse. You do the reverse of what you got. You do the reverse of what you know. You do the reverse of what you can. Jesus said that faithless, oh faithless and perverse generation. When he said that, I said, God, first you had to show mercy on the lunatic son. Then you had to show correction to the disciples who misused or who didn't even use your power. So it sounded like a little correction to me. And it illustrated a powerful revelation to us as it relates to our faith today. The disciples were not having faith as the size of a mustard seed. Jesus promises to us today that faith releases the power of God to produce maturity in us. So what are you on earth are you doing with it? If the faith, I don't believe that missionary Hemingway would have came up here after receiving all that money, would have came up here and gave that $6,000 if she hadn't already produce some faith and exercise some faith. See, what happens is when you take that first little step, like I told my nieces a long time ago, baby, you too old for a dollar. You got to come on up to $3. Now you in church. You need to get one to the Father, one to the Son, and one to the Holy Spirit. It's time out for coming to church, giving God a dollar. You too old for that. Your mama already gave you five, and you want to come to church and give him one. You too old. It's time to exercise what? Some faith and give God a little bit more. Now, she wouldn't have been able to easily give God $6,000 if she hadn't done it before. See, when you got a little bit, it takes a whole lot to say, I'm going to pinch off what belongs to God. If you're not exercising the power, come on, somebody. It's easy for when you're struggling to say, okay, God, not this month, maybe a little later on, than to do what you need to do if you don't have faith in what? God. But when you have faith in God, that's the first thing you do. You say, this don't even belong to me. See, I don't know about y'all, but I done told y'all this story many of times. I don't count my pennies. I don't look at my dollars. I don't open my bank account. I don't look at my checkbook. I don't even keep a register because I have come to the level that I am walking by faith, not by sight. See, it don't belong to me. It belongs to God. Everything on earth, they and it belongs who? Now, let me ask you something. If it belongs to God, why are you worrying about the little that you got? It's his. And the little you got is his. And he can give you what? More. And if he don't give it to you today, he can give it to you when? Tomorrow. Come on, somebody. Come on, put your... I can stop preaching right there. Because if he don't... That's what we need to do. We need to recognize, thank you, Lord. This is going to hop all the way down. Hop all the way down. We need to recognize that when we don't have it today, God wants us to look in us and say, well, what are you praying? What on earth are you doing? Because he didn't give it to you today. You need to pray a different type of prayer. You don't need to pray, God, give it to me. You need to pray, if it's your will, God, have your way. And when the money don't remain, come on, somebody, you need a revelation as to why not. Come on, it's tight, but it's, come on. It's tight, but it's, when the money don't remain, when the joy don't remain, when the happiness don't remain, when the love don't remain, and it all runs out, you need a revelation from God as to what? Because God is love. God is joy. God is peace. God is happiness. And if God is all these things, and you're missing them, come on, somebody. If you're missing it, then you don't need to be praying, God, when it's going to come. Why it hasn't come? I thought it was coming yesterday. I needed it yesterday. What you need to be saying is, God, let your will be done. Because I know if it didn't come today, it's going to come on tomorrow. I just need to build my faith. our first, the first major characteristic of mountain moving faith is recognizing spiritual principles. Pastor taught this many, thank you, years ago. He said the reason why the unsaved can go down to the car lot and come off of it with a car is because they exercising spiritual principles. Believe it, you shall receive it. If you don't have an ought against your brother and you've asked God to forgive you, then whatsoever you ask and you believe in his name, you shall receive it. That's what they're doing. They're saying, look, I ain't got nothing with my mama. I ain't got no problems with my sister. I ain't got no problems with my brother. I'm just going to go down here and get what belongs to me. But what we do is we say, I wonder if God's going to do it for me today. They're going to look up my credit report. I don't know if I got enough tax money to. That's what we do. Saints of God and people of God who've been in church 10 years and 15 years and 30 years and 40 years are wondering what God's going to do about it. He said, well, what on earth? If you don't have it, don't look at God, look at yourself. Say, why, God? What's the problem, God? And then go back and repent and say, show me what I need to do. Show me what I need to say. Tell me. And look. I'm coming to the close there. Thank you, God. I'm just, I think you got it. I think you got it. Missionary Saunders said, I told you need sit and talk. You need sit and talk. Missionary Saunders said in sit and talk, she said, in order to achieve your goals, you got to know the what, when, where, why, what, and the which. Now, if you got to know the what, when, why, where, and which physically, naturally, you got to know the what, when, why, and where, and which spiritually. In fact, it's reverse. If you know these things spiritually and you're seeking these things naturally, it's already going to come to you because God gives us the whereabouts. It comes from God. Everything we need comes from God. She said to be successful. So if you want the Lord, you look around, you say, well, what have they been in ministry 20 years? What's going on? Guess what? It's not the pastor's fault. Ooh, it's tight, but it's right. It's not my fault. Ooh, it's tight, but it's right. Is the praise team practicing and singing as hard as they can? As like the mustard seed. Try dying to get it right. Is the usher board trying to get it right so that when people come into church, everything is in order? Come on, somebody. It's tight, but it's right. Just what I was just saying up here a minute ago, all this stuff that we got available, are we using it to give God glory? It's tight. Ooh, yes. Ooh. Right now, the preacher would say, I feel my help coming on, then they take up another hour. But I'm going to come to the end. Taylor, take me to slide 7. Hallelujah. She said, what's slide 7? Hallelujah. What is the mountain standing in the way of your spiritual victory? When the mountain remains, and I said this before and I'm repeating it again, it takes dedication. It takes dedication to prayer for a revelation. Instead of praying, generic prayers begin attacking your mountain with God's word. Not generic God, you know. Because see, God knows, the Bible says he knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your spirit. But prayer is communication unto God. And faith is action. So in order for you to keep those things from remaining as like they are and change differently, you have to put your prayers in action. So guess what? When you come to church and the praise team, put your hands together. Everybody sing. Guess what? You ain't got no business sitting there. I don't mean no harm. You ain't got no business holding your hands. Because they ain't yours. They belong to him. Everybody shout hallelujah. Okay, that was four people. You ain't got no business holding your lips. Not using your voice. It belongs. Doing like pastor do now. It belongs. Hold my neck back to God. They used to say in the old church, and I'm done, I don't need no music, fire all by itself. I don't need a praise team. Fire, shut up in my bones. Pray.